Well, today is the last session of the program. Congratulations on making it all the way through to the end. My sincerest hope is that today is just the start to being a leader and making a real difference in the world. You know, there's so many people out there that need our help. And there's nothing better than feeling that tremendous joy of being able to contribute to someone else. So as we wrap up the program, Tony's going to walk you through an interesting process to help you identify where you are as a leader. What's your breadth of leadership and what's your depth of leadership? And what's next? So let's jump right into it.
Is there a master syntax, a sequence that you can utilize so you can funnel all of your life experience to be a more effective leader? And what I mean by that is, how do you move from a place where you are not getting the results you want to getting the results you want in the shortest period of time? And in doing that, you know, as I say, most of my life I've understood early on that syntax equals meaning. That if you change the sequence of the same items, you obviously get a completely different result. The metaphor I often use is, I'll talk about, you know, the dog bit Johnny or Johnny bit the dog. You know, you're using the same ingredients, but you have a radically different outcome if your name is Johnny, depending upon the sequence in which you put those things in. So all of us have leadership abilities, leadership skills that can help us to have an impact, and all of us have succeeded, whether it's as a parent or as a friend or as a teacher or as a businessman or woman, whatever the context of leadership that you use your skills are in. But I'd like to propose to you that there may be a very useful syntax for you to think of when you're thinking about what leadership is and the process of truly influencing someone for lasting change. So that's part of what I want to talk with you about today. And secondly, I want to talk to you today about how to measure yourself as a leader. And then once you measure yourself, how to use that feedback from yourself and from other people to create a greater depth and a greater scale of how you're going to impact people. And I believe depth is more important. So let's get started. Here's my outcomes today. Get you clear on where you are as a leader. You know, what is your depth? What is the scale of your leadership? Because if you want to get from here to somewhere else, you need a map. And a map is only valuable if you know where you're starting out at and you know where you want to go. So that's one of our outcomes today. And the second major outcome today is to get you to be associated, even if you've heard before, seven master steps, how you use these in leadership, in therapeutic intervention, with your kids, in a negotiation, so you can kind of funnel your focus and tap into these resources to maximize. So let's look at what we talked about just for a moment, because it's going to relate to this session very powerfully. If you're going to become a leader, you can influence somebody for the moment, or you can learn to influence somebody over the course of their life, impact their entire life. To influence someone, you have to know what already is influencing them. In other words, instead of trying to push your model of the world on someone, you need to know what theirs is. So I laid out for you what I call the path of meaning. That is how each individual organizes the way they look at the world, the way they interpret information, to decide, what does this mean? Is this the end or the beginning? Am I being punished or rewarded? Should I give up or should I keep going? The way we answer those questions is through this filtering system, and we talked about three levels of how people evaluate things. And I call them the three levels of impact, because if you impact anyone at any one of these three levels, you can have a change in their life. And that's what a leader does. You're influencing people for the greater good if you're a great leader. So we talked about the target. The target is really the driving force of somebody's life. What are their top two needs? In other words, that's the motive behind everything they do. Is it significance? Is that their center of gravity? Is it love? Is it certainty? Is it contribution? Is it variety? The top two really shape most of our life. Whatever we've learned to value most of those six human needs is very important to know if you're going to lead somebody, because you have to know what's already influencing them. If you're trying to talk about contribution to someone and you want to lead them to make contribution, but they're really driven by certainty, you're going to first have to address the certainty of what they're going to experience, or they don't even hear anything about contribution. They're driven by significance. Then you can't just talk about how great this is going to be for other people. You've got to talk about what this means to them and their capacity as a leader, their power, their influence, whatever it is that's going to relate to them. The second force is the guiding force, which is the map of meaning of action. And we talked about seven categories of belief, like your global beliefs, like life is, I am, identity beliefs, value beliefs, fears, etc. All these give meaning to things. How do we know whether we're significant or not? How do we know if we hit the target? It all depends first on your map of meaning, your rule book. But if you don't understand this and you're trying to influence someone, you don't understand their map, you're not going to get through. And we all think our rules are the right rules. Great leaders find out what the rules are of the people that they're working with so they can influence them with integrity. And then the third force within that first level of impact, which is your model of the world, is the fuel of choice. What are the habitual emotions? I call them the commanding emotions of your life. Because if you're trying to, you know, get from here to the target, and even if your map is accurate, if you don't have enough emotional fuel, you're not going to get there. If the fuel you're using is interest as opposed to drive or passion or desire, when you bump up against difficult things, you'll have a hard time filtering it. Likewise, if you're living in a place of anger, you're going to interpret things on your map very differently than if the primary emotion of your life is love. But if you want to influence somebody for the long term, you want to have an impact on their model of the world. If you want to know where the tipping point is, what can shift this, or if you want to change somebody in the moment, you go to the second level of impact, which is the little triangle or pyramid that that whole model of the world is balancing on. And that is basically the triad that you're living in this moment. Whatever's happening in your body, if you're physically stressed out, you've got tension, your focus is on what's wrong, and the language pattern you're in is asking yourself a question like, why does this always happen to me? It's going to change the emotional states that you tap into. It's going to change how you look at the map. It's going to change how you target your life. It's going to change everything. Most of you know how to shift this triad. You've done it your whole life. And since you've been with me, maybe you've done it more consciously, or maybe you've just given new names to what you've always been doing. And then the third level of impact we talked about is where people put their focus. Is it primarily in relationships? Is it primarily into themselves or their work or mission? And you can have an impact on someone's environment, and you can influence their whole life. So in that session, it was a long session, we really were trying to say, here's a way for you to begin to discover what's already influencing someone and say there's three places you can have an impact. You can try and affect the environment. If you change the environment, you change the way people respond. I'll give you a simple example. If I wanted to change your behavior, and I was a leader, and I was the leader of, let's say I was the person running the airport, and the problem I run into is that on a regular basis, we have not enough seats for people because people lie across the chairs. I could come along and try to change everybody in that group's model of the world, and those passengers are changing constantly, and it'd probably be a futile attempt. I could put up signs with incentives that say, if you lie across the chairs, there's a fine, or please don't lie across the chairs. And that might work for some people based on their model of the world, which says follow the rules. Or other people that want to avoid pain. Some people would lie across the chairs deliberately because you told them they shouldn't, because their model world is about breaking the rules. Are you following me on this? So if I want to change an environment of many people, I might structure something in the environment that changes it. So the easiest way to get people not to lie across the chairs would be to create an environment where there are chairs that all have arms on them. Therefore, you couldn't lie across the chairs. I don't have to put up a sign. I don't have to put myself in a position where I beg you. I don't have to punish you. I don't have to do that. I just created an environment that supports it. And that's one level of impact that you can use. Now, sometimes this is not a level that you can access because you can't affect the person's environment, but you better understand it. Or I can go to that level two of impact where the triangle is, and I can impact you right now in this moment simply by changing your physiology radically, changing what you're focusing on, changing the language or meaning you're using, and that'll change what things mean to you, how you feel, and what you're going to do, the actions you're going to take, and therefore the results you're going to get in life. Or I could go to the deepest level of impact, and I could influence the way you perceive the world by either shifting what you value most, significance or connection, for example, shifting some of your beliefs about life, the rules of the game, identity beliefs, vehicles that you're using, or shift the pattern of emotions that you've built into your body. So I was trying to show you everything that I target, but chunk it for you. Even if this feels overwhelming at first, it's good to know that there's three levels I can influence somebody at. Environmentally, in the moment through their triad, or in the depth of the way they come up with meaning through the model of their world. And I want to remind you of this general principle. I know it seems like a lot to absorb right now. You don't have to absorb it. I'm going to come back to it. But I want to give you this context before we begin. Now, let's talk for a second about what's the primary job of a leader? What's the difference between a leader and a manager? And there is a significant difference between the two. First of all, think of the job of a leader. The job of a leader ultimately is to create breakthroughs. If you're a leader, you're the kind of person that can take the obstacles. You know, you're not needed. If there's no breakthroughs needed, you're not needed. Things are running fine. But if there's a breakthrough in productivity needed, if there's a breakthrough where people can't accomplish something, well, you've got to take them to the next level. If there's a breakthrough needed because two people are in conflict, that's where a leader's value comes in. Now, some people are low-level leaders. I call those managers. They can create breakthroughs. They can get people to maximize their abilities, but the job gets done while they're standing there supervising. When the manager leaves, people no longer maximize their resources. Ultimately, what a leader's getting people to do is maximize their own personal resources for the greater good, the communal good of the family, of the community, of the business, of the country, of humanity. Our job is to help people tap into their power to produce a greater result. To do that, you've got to maximize more of what's already available in you. It's a business, there are money resources, there's time resources, there's technology resources, but the most powerful resource in any business or in life are human resources. Because ultimately, if you don't have the money, but you're creative enough, you'll find a way. Creativity is a human resource. If everyone tells you it's impossible and it's never been done, but you're focused or determined enough, then you know you can create the electric light bulb. You can figure out how to produce a connection on the web. You can get the job done that's never been done before if you tap into those human resources and you maximize them. So I believe human resources are what we want to maximize. So you can maximize them by managing people, lead them by just supervising, directing them, and giving them constant pain, pleasure, association, or leverage, or you can learn to lead. And a leader's job is not only to get the job done, but what a leader really does, their master skill, is they have the ability to influence the thoughts, feelings, emotions, and behaviors of other human beings. If you're a leader, whether you're mom, dad, mentor, best friend, teacher, businessman, entrepreneur, politician, lawyer, judge, whoever you are, you're a person of influence. And what makes you an effective leader is your ability to influence the thoughts, feelings, emotions, and actions of other human beings. And what great leaders do is they're able to lead people not only for the moment, not only when they're there, but when they're not there. They do it by helping people to expand their identity, to create new value systems, to expand their model of the world. And if they're running a business or an environment, the greatest leaders actually create a culture that many people live by that help them maximize who they are. So, you know, Jack Welch at General Electric created a culture, a model of the world of looking at business and serving customers, a set of targets, a set of beliefs, a map, a set of emotional environments that the majority of people that moved up in that organization lived by, and it made it one of the most successful companies in the history of the world. Great leaders as politicians shift the value systems. John F. Kennedy, you know, would talk about don't ask what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. That was a shift from saying stop focusing on your own certainty, your own significance, to the focus of contribution. You know, great leaders shift the way we think and feel. They shift our models of the world. They shift it all. So let's take a look, if we can, at what's the master organizing principles around leadership. What are you really doing? The core principle of going about this process of leadership is moving somebody from an undesired state to a desired state, from a place where it's impossible to a place where they're driven to get it done and they know it can get done and they will get it done, from a place where they're depressed and overwhelmed to a place where they have a compelling future and they're excited and their life has shifted. It depends on the context, but always what gets done is based on the state somebody's in. Think about it. In your own life, I'm sure you've had those times where, you know, you couldn't find the result with both hands. You know what I mean? You couldn't fight your way out of a paper bag. It had nothing to do with your resources, your abilities as a person. You were just in a screwed up state of mind. You were angry, frustrated, tired, exhausted, overwhelmed. But when you're determined, clear, creative, focused, when your commitment is to serve, everything shifts. Because motive does matter, and motive changes your state. So our core principle of leadership is if I'm going to help somebody, whether it's the President of the United States or it's a child, I'm working with somebody in a prison or a professional athlete, my focus in leading this person is I've got to change them. I got to define where they are and where do they need to go. What's the current undesired state? What's the desired state? And then I've got a set of tools on how to get them there by understanding their world, by finding how to create a base of relationship with them so there's trust and respect, and finding the leverage that makes that change a must, by interrupting the pattern that's stopping them, by coming up with a way of labeling the pattern that makes it solvable, because many times people have a language that prevents this, by bringing them in contact with new resources, new creativity, ideas, strategies, tools that can move them immediately and solve their problem, move them from the undesired state to the desired state, from the undesired result to the desired result. And then finally condition it so it sticks, and then check it so it produces the results long term. So that's our ultimate goal. So then here's my question for all of you.